Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Fellas, Tommy, TJ, good morning. How are y'all?
Man, I'm good. I'm tired. I know you're tired. It was a fun day yesterday. There's something about this event, something about the Wichita Open that even on a Thursday is electric and exciting. The crowds were fantastic yesterday. The weather was really good yesterday. It's going to be good today, too. It's going to get hotter, going to get a little bit breezier this afternoon. I think the scores on the course might reflect that.
Yeah.
But Friday's always a big party day. Thursday was a big party day yesterday. Friday should be even more. So we're excited to be here.
And the wind, TJ, will cool people off, I think, versus yesterday where it was just kind of stagnant, maybe is the word. So it will feel better for the fans. Probably not as good for the golfers, though, and we saw a record round yesterday.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy out here. I was talking to Tommy. You know, I get the most FOMO of anything that we do all year long whenever we come out to the Wichita Open because of, you know, just sitting around watching everybody else having fun while you're doing the reporting and everything. Doubled down this morning. Not often. I'm awake at this early day. The door at 6:30 in the morning with a golf attire on going to a golf course. Now I've got FOMO.
Yeah, look, we all have FOMO. We're all doing a million things. Tommy's greeting clients and doing those things. I've got a HTO booth we're trying to run for the first time this year. And TJ's got the 12 News Live reports rolling. But that's okay. Again, it's contagious. The energy is contagious, and we're happy to be out here. We're going to talk to tournament organizers. We're going to talk to the golf people. We're going to talk to our friends out here at Crestview Country Club. I keep looking around and just, I can't believe they did this, Tommy, but the graciousness of Crestview Country Club to allow the grounds to take the beating that they're taking this week, it's remarkable, but we'll talk to them about that. It's every year. It's probably going to be a little bit more this year with all that water, but we'll get it back in working order. But, you know, for the golfers, man, they don't know. Half of them probably don't even know what this place looked like 72, 96 hours ago.
Yeah, I mean, the scores reflect the fact, I think, yesterday that the course was pretty soft because of the rain that we've had over the last several days. And I mentioned it on the show yesterday that I felt like it was a day, and Brandon and I talked about it in our final hour, that there was going to be some opportunities for some golfers to post some scores. And that's the important thing, because as the temperature warms up, as the wind starts to pick up, we start to get traditional summer in Kansas. Today's the first day of summer. We're going to probably start to see a little bit more challenging conditions out here with hard and fast fairways and greens and that sort of thing. And you want to talk about posting scores, TJ. We had a record, something that's never happened at this tournament before.
Yeah, crazy round. Adrian Dumont, Nation Star yesterday, early in the morning, gets out. I don't even know how many birdies he ended up total. I think he was bogey-free the entire day. Yeah. A couple birdies. I think he had an eagle mixed in there. But as you're saying, I talked to him after his round was over and asked him about, you know, is the course conditions go into this because it's softer out here. And he's like, well, yesterday it was really soft. Like this morning it was kind of soft, but he's like, by the time I finished, I mean, they were bouncing pretty hard. So like it was already by that at noon yesterday. It's going to be freaking rock hard out there today. I mean, you can even see where all the water was in the rough as you were walking around is already basically all hardened up. So I can't imagine what the fairways, and it's going to be the typical Wichita Open when you're watching them put on the green and just saying, how on earth can you control that thing on the green?
Well, and think about it too, like for a guy like him who was in the morning group, right? He finished that round right as we were kind of coming off the air and the rumors start. He gets to do that and now go play in the second grouping today or the second half in the wind, because this morning, like I think the advantage early will be the guys that went late yesterday and early today, because it's not as windy right now as it's going to be. We'll see if some of these scores hold or if that is, in fact, an advantage enough going into the weekend. And then this weekend, everybody will kind of be in everything. It won't really matter. But we'll watch that today. We're going to have Jay Delling come in a little bit later throughout the show. He'll kind of talk to us about some of those things, get us updated on what's happening this morning. Troy Jordan, the chairman of the board, will come in as well. We've got some other friends of the program stopping by. But it's not all golf here, of course, on Sports Daily. As much fun as we're having with the Wichita Open, we've got the Royals, who completed a sweep, a very, very nice bounce back for them after a dreadful week. And we've got NBA Finals to talk about. Just at the surface, fellas, Tommy, we talked about this yesterday with the NBA Finals. There come the Pacers. This is kind of their thing, right? Like you just right when you're ready to be like, okay, yeah, Oklahoma City's more talented. Oklahoma City's better. Boom. This happened. I mean, look, I think Oklahoma City's going to take game seven ultimately, but that's as Pacers an outcome, I think, as there possibly could be.
I didn't have on my bingo card that the Pacers were going to blow out the Thunder in game six. I picked the Thunder to win, but I also wouldn't have been overly surprised had the Pacers maybe come back from behind or if it was a close game. I didn't have a Pacers blowout.
Wire to wire.
Predictable. Yeah.
That was pretty wild.
Yeah, if I'm a Thunder fan, I'm clenching my cheeks for Game 7. I don't know. I'm terrified for that game to see what they were able to do in that one. That's a big ask for a bounce back, but the good news is that they did the work so that one can be in Oklahoma City, because the Pacers are just really tough to beat in Indianapolis.
Well, and it's just for the fans. Like, if they're able to complete it for the, you know, the young franchise, still young, relatively speaking, of Oklahoma City, to have the opportunity to do that in front of the home fans. Like, if everything works out, you wouldn't have traded any of it. Because doing it there will make it that much sweeter for the fans. The players, of course, probably just would like to get it done. But this provides a pretty cool – this will be one of the biggest deals happening, I would imagine, in Oklahoma City, certainly in Oklahoma City sports ever. So that will be a really cool environment on Sunday. And then we'll dig deeper into the Royals here in just a second. But, fellas, you know, it was more power leading the way in a win. Now, three games in a row – the thing that has escaped them all season long is the reason they swept a series.
We finally saw Jack Caglione break through also with a couple of homers.
Not just homers.
They were bombs.
Nuclear warheads.
They were bombs. And so he's got that monkey off his back. And hopefully that's something that can continue to propel the Royals forward. They needed that sweep, especially considering the way that their schedule sets up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, talk about FOMO. Since Jack Cags has gotten called up, I've watched every single game. The one game I don't watch because I'm watching golf, he hits two home runs. So I also lost a lot of money betting on Jack Cags' home runs, and he finally does it on the day that I'm watching golf, and I have no money in the DraftKings account. So
you know what that means, right? You just can't watch the Royals. I said famously yesterday that Cags will probably have 8 or 10 home runs this year. Got a quarter of the way there. we'll talk about the Royals. When we return, it's Sports Daily. We're having a party out of the Wichita Open. Come join us. We'll be right back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
On Sports Daily, it happens with 4 hours of live. Right, exactly what happened. There's a huge generator just right over there. You can see us, and it tripped, and so now we're back, and everything is good to go. And we'll take you through the end of the hour here. Troy Jordan, chairman of the board here for the Wichita Open, will join us during this segment in just a few minutes. But let's talk Royals, boys. So Cags, we can start with Cags. I mean, it's a win streak, more importantly, but we can talk with the Cags part because that was the headliney part of the win. Two home runs, one in the zone, the second one, one very much out of the zone,
foot above the zone,
the first one. That is something probably only Bobby Witt Jr. does or is even capable of doing. Not, I mean, it was up there and he pulled it, which means he wasn't late on it, which is just crazy. I mean, we're talking, I think it was a foot. I told Tommy a foot. I watched it briefly. Yes, I think it was a foot above the zone. Like, guys can't do that. Like,
I think there was a stat on the broadcast that was the highest pitch hit for a home run in Royals history.
I mean, it had to be. It was a stupid pitch. It was a terrible pitch to swing at. But he hit it out of the ballpark. And that's what, you know, we talked about that a lot yesterday is he going to be able to do that thing that has made him successful despite the fact that that almost never allows players to be successful at the highest level? And we'll find out about that. I think the better option is to become moderately more patient. But the second home run was a really nice, you know, breaking ball that kind of missed that he just did the exact same thing with. And both were bombs, as most of his will be, because he hits the ball so hard. But it does make you wonder, okay, he got that one out of the way. Now what? And could that open him up to be this big contributor? Just yesterday, we were like, hang tight. It's probably not going to be a ton of power yet this year because he won't get the opportunities. I still think that's probably true, but man, that is kind of a slap in the face of, oh, don't, hey, don't forget here. Like, there's only a handful of players on the planet who can hit the ball as hard as he hits it.
Yeah, and I think that there was definitely the first couple of weeks in the bigs for Cags. I think he probably, as a 22-year-old kid, felt the expectations, felt the pressure to come in and be this juggernaut type guy and be the saving grace for the Royals offense. And I think that once you have some games under your belt and you know you're pressing probably a little bit early on, it can go one of two directions. That can either continue and then you can really get in your head and really press. And that was, I think, the only major risk about the Royals bringing him up when they did, was that thought of he's going to feel the weight of the world on his shoulders and then it's not going to go well for him. But then it could also go the other direction where he eventually feels like, look, I don't have to be the savior of this team. I'm batting sixth in the lineup. They're not expecting me, you know, to be the number one producer of offense, at least right now on this team. And I think that once you get a couple of home runs, that can sort of let you loose a little bit, and we'll see how things move forward.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, TJ, I don't think all of a sudden Cags is going to just start dropping bombs and lead this team in home runs, although that wouldn't be that hard to do this year. But I mean, he could.
Yeah. I think that Tommy kind of hit the nail on the head with the first part there, is that I don't think per se he wanted to be the savior of this offense, even though some people may have expected him to, but I think internally he understood that wasn't what he was there for. But I also think, being a 22-year-old whose main attribute is power, the fact that he hadn't hit a home run yet, the fact that he was kind of struggling at the plate a little bit, was probably getting into his head subconsciously, even though he was still batting like 220, 240, which is like a bad day at the plate at all. He was going 1-for-4 just about every day. I think that he's been waiting to get something like this. You know, he did it in spring training off big league pitching. He did it in AAA off guys that pitch in the big leagues that are quad A guys. So the fact that he knew that he was capable of helping this team with power and hadn't done it yet was probably hurting himself. I think hitting one is just something to get the monkey off his back, as you were saying, that he can relax at the plate more, just to say, like, hey, I am capable of doing this for this team. I am capable of hitting home runs at the big league level. Just needed to prove that to himself more than anything, I feel like. The fact that he did that is probably going to open so much more to not be pressing so much at the plate and put together some really good at bats.
Guys, he needs to be the fifth best offensive player on this team.
Yep.
Like, in a best case scenario, he needs to be the fifth best offensive player on this team. It doesn't have to be better than Bobby Witt Jr. or Salvador Perez or Vinny Pasquantino or Michael Garcia this year to make this team significantly better. He just needs to be the fifth best offensive player on this team. So he definitely can do that, whether it comes with power, whether it comes with presence, whether it comes with anything. Like, that's not too much to ask of the rookie in a season where we're already asking too much of him by even having him at the big league level at this point. I don't think the expectation or the task at hand is too big to be a reasonable expectation. That takes us into, okay, the Royals have won 3 games in a row now. They got a great performance from Michael Wacha. Bullpen was good again. But here's the thing. You win 3 in a row in this year's American League, they gain a half game in the wild card standing on a 3-game win streak. Okay, like, this is why it's like, when we have the conversations that we've had this week about, man, they're going to have some difficult decisions to make, like, it's going to take a heater, like a really good stretch to put any space in the wild card standings, not just for the Royals, but for any team. That's why, like, we talk about, we'll just use the term always, or at least I will, the butt clenching baseball. Like, it's going to be every day, because you just won 3 games in a row against one of the teams, by the way, that you're competing with in the wild card. I mean, the Rangers were ahead of them before that series started. You gained a half game.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think their upcoming schedule is not conducive to a heater, like
right.
You just mentioned.
Well,
when you've got the Padres, you've got the Dodgers, you've got the Rays, the Mariners coming up, Could it happen? Sure. They absolutely had to have these three games against the Rangers. It does get them back to 500. I was concerned when they fell three games under 500, right? You know, and now they're at least back to square after the, you know, this sweep this week. I think going back to your point about Cags, not only does he only need the fifth best batter in that lineup, the fifth best offensive threat, the replacement value you have to keep in mind too. He's got to be better than who he replaced. And he replaced Hunter Renfro.
Yeah, sure.
And he's already done that, right, in just a couple of weeks. And so that by itself, I think, not that he's going to be thinking about this, but if it were me, I'd be thinking, okay, well, I've already done better than the guy that I replaced that I came in to take over right field from.
Did you see the stat yesterday on social media? Somebody put out that Jack Caglione now has more home runs than any Royals right fielder all season long of one.
I believe that.
So he's got two now. He beat that one. So, anyways, back to the wild card race. The point that I've brought up so many times is the fact that the bad news for the Royals is that they're fourth in their division, in a division that's probably going to have three playoff teams. So,
at
like,
least.
They're competing against teams they're going to play 100 more times, basically, throughout the rest of the season, whatever the number is, 80-plus probably, something like that. But, you know, you got to make up this ground, but you're also going against guys that are above you in not only the AL Central, but also in the AL wild card. So it's a strong swim upstream.
I'm not all the way there with them on this yet. I think we talked about this yesterday. I honestly am getting closer to the point with this team where it's like, it always matters who you play. I don't know that it really matters who they play. You know, early in the year, because of the timing of things, we were like, oh no, they lost to those bad teams and then they got on their 20-2 stretch or whatever it was, but there were some bad teams mixed in. We've seen enough now since that point where I kind of think it's just more about like if the Royals are feeling it, they're gonna beat anybody, and if they're not, they're gonna look terrible. It's just how often and how consistent can they be, and if that's the case, again, I'm not there yet, but if it is the case, then that's good news for the Royals because the schedule will mean far less than we fear it might based on what we saw early in the season. But if they, you know, if they're pitching is going and they do get a little more offense, like then all of a sudden it's like, okay, yeah, they're going to play the Padres, but the Royals on paper, roster to roster, are not that far from the Padres, if at all. And that's going to be the case for almost anybody they play. Nobody's on paper where the Dodgers are, but on paper, like everybody else is pretty even right now. That's why we have such a tight race across baseball. And I think that's good news if that is the case for the Royals. I mean, is that making any sense? Like, I do think it's kind of maybe more about them and not who they play. Maybe, based on what we've seen like the last 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, but at the same time, remember, one of the major issues with this team throughout most of the season has been, you know, the inability to be clutch. Now, they've done it right in the last three games. They've got their, you know, little winning streak going on. They get back to 500, all of that. I think that's one area where it does, when you compare them to some of the teams they're going to be facing in the next couple of weeks, those teams, while roster to roster, the Royals match up against probably everybody outside of the Dodgers. The Royals, from top to bottom, are comparable to, from a roster perspective. A lot of these teams have clutch abilities that they've been able to, that's why they're in the position that they're in, where the Royals haven't really quite shown that much this season. Now, have they turned the corner? Has the page in this book been turned to where they can start to be clutch? And we've seen it, you know, in a couple of cases throughout the course of this series. I go back to the game on Wednesday night when the Royals, late in the game, only had a one-run lead. They were able to get a couple insurance runs and give some breathing room to Estevez to close the game out. We haven't seen much of that this season. If they can continue to do what they did in this Rangers series, then, yeah, we might have turned a corner a little bit here.
It's possible. We'll just call it possible. Much bigger track record of them beating up on some bad teams, Oakland and the White Sox. That's the thing. I keep going back to the White Sox and Oakland. And I'm like, man, when the Royals play bad, it doesn't matter who they're playing. But when they play well, maybe it doesn't matter who they're playing either. And we'll find out because they're about to play a whole bunch of really, really good teams. And we'll look ahead to that. We'll look ahead to that Padres series later in the program. Right now, though, let's bring in the righty here. Troy Jordan coming in. Troy, we're gonna get you in here to talk Wichita Open.
Hey guys,
what a first day!
Huh? Oh my goodness gracious,
Isn't that crazy!
I mean, the word that keeps coming to my mind and being asked questions is miraculous.
I mean, it is. It is all things considered and relatively speaking, nobody on the planet. Maybe even not you guys and the staff thought this was going to be possible.
Yeah, we were very optimistic, but we struggled in the beginning hours of this thing. But I would tell you, Dusty and the team focused on priorities, asked a lot of tough questions, and there was a lot of meetings that pivoted by the hour.
Yeah.
And it just worked. I mean, enough evidence just by today even. They just announced that 18 for Ambassadors is open today.
Well, yeah.
We didn't think it was going to be open till tomorrow.
It looks great. Dusty said that was what they were trying to do. We came out. We've got our HTO booth right here.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, no problem. And we came back, it was probably 9 o'clock last night to make sure everything was good and you know, everything was still standing from the party around us. And I was expecting them. I knew we could come back out. I told my wife, I was like, we'll be able to go out. They got to work on 18 tonight.
Yeah.
Like, they'll be out there all night.
Yeah.
And so we get here at like 9 o'clock and I look over and like, they're done.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, what? Wait, hang on a minute. Like, we were almost too late. They already, like, it was already done. Like, everybody at that point was standing around admiring their work.
Yeah, I know. A lot of thanks go to, and you guys, I think Dusty was on and thanked all the folks involved, and it's just parlaying into the rest of the week and just fantastic. And it's going to be a great week. I mean, the wind's going to kick up today. The golf is still pretty special. We had a heck of a round, amazing round yesterday. I know you guys talked about it, but there's some folks out there that can turn it on a dime. There's some good names out there.
Yeah. Thinking about that round yesterday from Adrian Dumont Deschassard, he goes 59. You think about how much the rain probably helped the course.
Oh, no question.
For the golfers. You know, I was saying, you know, the rough, even where it was muddy yesterday, is already hardening up there. Just what is it going to be like on the course today?
Yeah, you know, 59 is 59. The preferred lies out there yesterday, and it was a soft golf course, and the wind was down. But he's an amazingly talented golfer. I mean, all these guys are just that far away from the big time. And it wouldn't surprise me if we see something. I'd be surprised if it's 59 because the winds are going to kick up. But this is going to harden out. But the other part is their ball's going to go farther.
Yeah.
They're going to have less than wedges into some of these greens. It's going to be fantastic. I think, TJ, you mentioned a name that we try to align ourselves with some golfers that we have some connection with.
Right.
And Jeremy Gandone is one of those.
I watched you golf with him the other day.
He's a special fella, like all of them are. But he has came over from France, went to Manhattan, and the next thing you know, he's fallen in love with college football. I mean, his connection is to the state now. It's amazing. And he had a good round. Robert Streb had a really good round yesterday. So
I didn't even know Streb was out here.
Yeah. I'm telling you, there's gonna be some fireworks yet for us to be able to display.
I asked Jeremy after I walked the course with you guys for those final couple holes. I asked him, I said, so are you still tapped in on K-State sports now that you know you're not in the state? And he said, TJ, it's the only thing I care about. He said, it's the only thing I watch.
Yeah. I think he was the only foreign recruit in the room when he was up there, and it was a bunch of Kansas kids. And he goes, what else was I going to do? I was by myself, and all of a sudden he got addicted. So, anyway,
yeah, what else?
Great stuff. Dusty, want to make sure that we got out was just to remind your listeners that none of the premium stuff down here on 17 or 18, for that matter, opens up until 11. We had a lot of people that got here really early thinking they could get in, and it's going to be hot out here, and I just want to prevent people from being out here in the sun as much as possible. So.
Yeah, so all the pests, to Troy's point here, so, like, the premium stuff is on 17, and that means anything on 17.
That's true.
It means this area we're in now.
That's exactly
like
right.
We're getting set up, and I can promise you, just chill, because they were still going at, you know, 5 o'clock, 5:30 last night. So you'll have plenty of time. You can come out and walk the course though. Like if you want to come out early and just walk with some of the early golfers before you start your party, yeah, do that. But the party doesn't start until 11 each day. And, you know, if you have your 18 tickets and things, you'll be there. If, you know, if you bring an umbrella, you know, if you're afraid, cause it's going to be a little sunnier, probably a little hot than a lot of people are used to that come out. A lot of people don't care, but for the folks in the chalets and the air conditioned areas, not this year. Not going to happen. So bring an umbrella and hydrate.
And you make a good point. If you're going to be out here early waiting for it to open, go follow a couple of golfers.
Yeah.
This is the best time to do that. And you will get engaged in a different level if you do that. We'll take all the people that want to come party with us all day long as much as they want to, but a little more engagement if you'll get out of this. If you were to say, hey, I'm going to go pick somebody and just follow from two holes.
You'll have somebody to root for, right?
Exactly.
Go follow some of these guys, and we'll have Jay in throughout the show today to enlighten us on some of those storylines you know, to sort of lock into that you might have local interest. You guys mentioned the two K-State guys out here. But it's amazing every year when we talk to people, like what some random connection
it's awesome.
To this area is. As TJ runs into Brad Underwood yesterday,
yeah.
right? Just casually out here watching, right? His daughter's boyfriend?
Yeah, Adrian Dumont, Desha Saar, yeah. is dating Brad Underwood's
No
dog.
Way.
That's the story I learned. So the big joke is that
no way.
Brad Underwood probably gave him his blessing after he shoots a 59. In the
Well, yeah, at that point, it's like, all right.
Think about the member guests.
All right, young man.
Picture like, that engagement.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
This might work out for us.
Yeah,
you can't blame him.
I always talk about, to your point of walking the course with some of these guys, is you think about, you know, some of those major championships you watch on TV, the amount of people that are out there, like you can't even see the golf half the time. So that's what's so cool. A couple of years ago, 2023, Dodge Kimmer was out here, who's a guy that's from Wichita, played in the Asian Tour, and then was home for Father's Day and Monday qualified, basically, and got in the tournament. Jay told me about him. I walked the course for about 9 holes, ended up becoming friends with his parents, did a story on, like, just getting to, I mean, you were one of 10 people out here walking with these guys for, you know, 4 hours watching a round of golf. And it's like, that's how you can really get engaged. And it's the best way to take in the open, just to watch a round of golf and see how they approach these shots and find rooting interest. You know, Neil Shipley, a guy you watch in the Masters, is out here playing. Blades Brown is a dude that's 18 years old that's out here playing. So I got my list that I always try to catch a couple of holes on, and it's just so much fun to get there and be involved with these guys.
Awesome. A lot of great stories.
It's a blast. Okay, so let's take everybody, Troy, because this will be we won't have a show, obviously, on Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
So today, 18 is open. That's the big difference.
That is correct.
And then that's it, right? Like, so basically from here on out, we're ready to rock and roll. This is the way it will be.
We are business as usual for this year's event, right?
Well, sure.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, people don't have to worry about, well, is this open, that open? Yeah, the one thing that we're still waiting on is the shuttle from 18 entry out to 17. We typically would have a shuttle out here that was put on by Wichita Key, Wichita Pediatrics. The ground is just struggling to get dry. And so we don't know if that's going to kick in, but if it does, we'll announce that. But that's the one and only thing.
And if you're physically in need of a ride, you can probably find one.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's one hole. It happens to be a par 5. So it's a little bit longer, but right. It is only one hole.
Yeah. So, and most people it's a convenience thing and everyone will be
absolutely.
Fine. And then so Saturday was a sellout. I saw that was announced.
Absolutely.
And that is, but that's not general admission. Right, or is it?
No, you get on the course, walk the course. That's not what that means. That means the one-day tickets down here, unless you have access to somebody that's a sponsor that has a chalet or they're an ambassador or a major sponsor, you can't get in to any of the premium stuff. The one-day tickets are sold out, so that's what we mean by sold out. There's some access on Sunday on the one-day tickets down there.
Okay.
But I think based upon the buzz around here, tomorrow we might be selling that.
Now, are we sold out today also?
No, there's still some few one-day tickets.
Okay, so if you want to come down to 17, so you can't get on Saturday, again, unless you have a connection. But today you still could.
Yep.
And Sunday you still could for now.
That's right.
And that could go away real fast.
And the last time that you and I talked on your show, it didn't have anything to do with me, but that's when it really went through the roof. God, I mean, the sales went crazy. So
I would invite everybody, like, honestly, like, if you're going to come, know that you can't just make that call on Saturday. So come today. And if I could not believe the party yesterday for the Thursday round. I'm like, this is the slow day? It was a party.
Yeah.
More than I like to get into hyperbole, but more than I think I've seen in the 11 or 12 years of this thing that I've been watching it. I don't remember a Thursday ever being as kind of raucous as, which and I mean that in a good way.
Sure.
I always joke with Troy and Tommy, like, I want the golfers to be annoyed with us. I mean, honestly, like, I do. Like, I want them to be like, be quiet over there. Oh, I'm trying to hit an approach shot. Like, that's what I want. Cause I want this to be a great community event. But it was that way yesterday. So if you're going to get tickets, if you want to go out to the party deck and out here where we are, which is called the 19th hole, which is super fun, you're going to need to get those tickets probably very soon, if not like right now, today or Sunday. Saturday, you're going to have the connection. So that's there. 18 tickets are probably not available, I would imagine.
No, those are also through the ambassadors. Ambassadors have tickets and access. They've probably distributed those out to their clients and their employees, but you never know. Something can pop up. You got to know somebody.
Yeah, you got to find your way out. But again, come walk the golf. Troy, everything looks great. just keep telling people from us, like, we're just so impressed by all of this. I can't believe they got this thing off the way they did.
Thank you to you guys, and so much thanks to the community. I mean, it's just Wichita showed who Wichita is. It's just, it's amazing. So
every time.
Unbelievable. Every time. You're right.
Every time we, every time you're like, oh, I wonder if, it's just, it's a big turnout. Every time.
No doubt.
Appreciate it, Troy.
All right, brother. Appreciate
it. Have fun today,
TJ.
We'll see you around.
All right. Thank you.
Stay hydrated. Don't forget sunscreen like I did yesterday. That if you want some advice for me, like, wear sunscreen. I forgot. Like, I had my wife. I was like, hey, you know, when you get out here and we get HTL set up, make sure you bring some sunscreen. And both of us forgot, and just both of us are fried. So, you know, don't forget your sunscreen. Drink a water. Drink some HTO. We'll hydrate you while you're partying. Or, as you asked yesterday, Tommy, you can do both at the same time. Because our friends over at Una Vita, you can walk over your HTO and they'll take care of you.
I got to tell you, I'm not sure that that you can officially endorse this with HTO, but your Ryan Palmer mixed with a little bit of vodka, high post vodka from Una Vita tequila, pretty good.
Yeah, TJ was telling me the unsweet regular with vodka is also really good and a great pool drink all summer long. Or was that me telling TJ? I don't. Either way, it's effective. Does the job, but there were lots of kids and stuff. So if you've got your kids, obviously, you can come get some non-alcoholic drinks. Oh yeah. Zeb's bringing this over. Our friends at Una Vita here. Product placement for them.
One right sip in the bottom of each of those bottles.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. Not. Absolutely not. Not this much. I'm too tired. I'm hungover without drinking yesterday. So that doesn't sound good to me right now. Maybe in a little bit. All right, boys, we're going to take this. We had that technical glitch. So we're just, for people out there, we got about 7 minutes here. We're going to keep you until we take our break and get into the second hour. We'll go back to the Royals, I think, and then we'll get to the NBA Finals in the next hour.
I do think we'll have Jay Delling in the 8 o'clock hour.
Okay.
He and I have been texting back and forth, and I believe he's coming out sometime in the 8
At least hour. In the 8 o'clock hour. We may get him twice, closer to the end of the first groupings at 6:50. That times out really well for us. So we'll have that. We will have the Crestview crew out here. We will have everybody's boss here at Odyssey, I think, to come out and talk about some of the things that they've been going. And then it's a Friday fit, Tommy, as well. Are we bringing in our 35 by 70 crew?
I believe so. I think that Katie Winters is stopping by at some point this morning to talk 35-70 Golf Co. So I believe we've got her coming in at some point during the show.
Well, if not, we can get a promo code here.
We can. Yeah. Promo code Tommy, get 10% off. This is one of their new shirts, 35 by 70 Golf Co. Here on the Friday Fit. It's called the Spicy Lemonade.
I was about to say, I got a lemon,
lemons
a bell pepper,
and peppers all over
some
it.
Sort of spicy lemonade. Some sort of blue bottle on there.
It is. I love it. So,
that's a good shirt.
You can go online 35x70golfco.com. Use the promo code Tommy, 10% off. We love having them a part of the show. Dan and Katie Winters, they've been a big part of this Wichita Open. They outfitted the Pro-Am folks. I know that they've had a pop-up shop out here where you can buy some of their great merch. And what I love about it, too, is that it's not like a lot of their golf apparel is in retail spaces. It's in a couple places around town, but a lot of folks have to go online to find what they want. But if you come out here this weekend, you can shop it and look at it physically and everything. So just another big benefit to coming out to the Wichita Open.
The one thing from them that I really, really want is that Wichita driver head cover. Have you seen that one before? It's been sold out every time that I've looked.
Yeah.
So I got to figure out my connection so I can get the Wichita flag on my driver.
Well, hopefully Katie will be here a little bit. I haven't seen that.
I'm going to text her and see if she's going
to
come by.
So we'll have that. But we wanted to get Tommy's promo code in there. I want to say thanks to Pray Fire Coffee. For keeping us fueled up when we're in studio all the time. We appreciate their support of the show as well. And stay tuned. We're not going to do this right now, but we will be giving away a round of golf today. This will be our third round of golf out here to Crestview. It will be for two players and a cart, all included. You can come out and you can check out the facilities. Tom and I tell you how much we enjoy being out here all the time. Because the facilities are great, which if you're coming out to the Wichita Open, you're going to see that. Take a peek over at the pool. That's where my kids will be. They're swimming this morning, swim team, which is the kids' activities is why I bring that up. Kids' activities are fantastic. And then the quality of people out here, this is what probably Tommy surprised me. Tommy knows I'm not what you would call a stereotypical country club guy.
Neither.
We're so comfortable and have so much fun out here. And honestly, if you want a good example of that, think about what happened on Tuesday and the fact that all the members, they just, I don't even remember, Tom. Did they send us an email? I don't remember what it was.
No, I don't think there was any official communication.
There was
just an organic.
It was, yeah, like it was rumor. Maybe that's what it was. It was like, hey, if anybody's got a chainsaw and one, and like they, it was a line of people. They called it an assembly line yesterday. They were just out on the fairways chopping trees.
They started on hole number one and just went hole by hole
and cleared the debris so that they could play golf. And that's what I mean. Like, it is a very laid back, chill, lot of great family vibes. So we're excited about that giveaway because it'll give you a chance to come play the course, which of course is amazing. And then you can check out some of these facilities and chat with them and see what we're talking about.
It sounds like our buddy Todd Johnson, the membership director out here at Crestview, will be joining us around 9 o'clock this morning.
Perfect. He can talk to us more about that giveaway. And maybe we can goad him into giving some other stuff away under public pressure. we'll try to do that as well. All right. So we have that. You'll have a chance to win that. We'll get you those details in just a little bit as well. When we come back, we're going to talk a little NBA Finals. We're going to get more into the Royals. We'll look ahead to the weekend. I have no idea if anything of significance happened with the Chiefs at minicamp, but we're going to ask around, see if we can't figure that out, because we've been so focused on what's happening out here, because it's a blast. You guys ready for another day of this? You got it in you?
I think I can power through one more day of like the...
One more day?
Well, here's the thing. So... yesterday and today are like entertaining people, networking. There's a lot of social skills that can drain that battery pretty quickly, right? Tomorrow I plan on bringing out my four-year-old, and I think it's just going to be he and I, and we're just going to watch some golf.
That'll be fun.
So I think that, I can do about, another day for that.
Yeah, I thought about bringing the kids out and helping us like just talk to people and serve a little tea, whatever it is. You always want to get them out, but yeah, you do it early. It's going to be warm. It'll be a little warm as we make our way into the weekend and probably today. Right now, though, I will tell you, honestly, what are we at? 78.7 degrees already. This breeze, it feels very nice. Feels very nice. All right, we'll come back. We'll have more Sports Daily. Second hour begins right after this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's another hour of Sports Daily as we're spoiled so greatly. Our guy Zeb's like creating shade for us. I got to tell you, it really is pleasant out here, and we're almost 80 degrees. Like, we're gonna be 80 degrees probably by the end of this segment, and in the shade with the breeze, it's nice. And even as we know it's going to get up to what, 93, 94 today, if you can find the shade and this breeze, it's pretty comfortable. And I'll tell you too, like, I'll bet you where we are right now, this 19th hole, because if you saw last year at the Fan Zone, it was down there kind of tucked away a little bit. Couldn't really see any of the golf. So I was talking to people yesterday at my son's T-ball game. And I was like, yeah, we're in the Fan Zone. They're like, oh, man, you can't see the golf. And I'm like, no, now you can. Like, so at 17, like, you're obviously seeing 17. You're seeing the entire hole play out. And then at 18, you see the green. But what you see now in this area where we are, which I bring it all up because there is shade here and you will catch the breeze. And there are two bars in this area as well. Like, you're catching the approach to 18. So you've got their drive on 18, and then you've got their approach. That's this fairway is right behind us. So this placement is one of the better decisions I think they made this year. And it adds a totally different, I mean, you guys have been out here too, but to me it adds a totally different element and a totally different environment than we've ever had out at the Open in a positive way.
100%. 100%. And I, you know, where the Fan Zone, the 19th hole was a year ago, you were closer to the 18th green, but that also meant, you know, there's pressure putts going on the 18th green. 17 is a party. There's pressure putts there, but that's to be expected. And there are going to be players today that are going to be on that 18th green, and they need to make a putt to make the cut and make money in this tournament and play the weekend. And, you know, so where the Fan Zone was a year ago, you've got music playing and a party and all that. And that's great. And it's fun. 18 is a little bit more pressure packed. And so I totally understand why they wanted to move this atmosphere further up the fairway. And it actually makes for a better party, number one, but even a better golf viewing experience here on 18.
The view is really cool. It's like, you'll see it when you get here as you're walking by. Cause if you're walking out to 17, you get the approach. Like, you get the approach shot. So, all right, we've got coming up in this hour, Jay Delling will join us as far as guests. That'll be the 8 o'clock hour here. I just saw him pull up. So that's coming in just a few minutes. We'll do this first segment and then we'll get Jay in. We'll really dig into the golf of yesterday as well. And then we're going to talk NBA finals here in just a second. That's what's on tap this hour. It's brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. Locations East, West, and Historic Delano featuring a rooftop deck, Wichita Brewing Company, pizza, beer made here. So let's talk NBA Finals for a few minutes here, guys, and then we'll get Jay in the next segment, and we'll dig into the golf of Thursday. 17-point win. I mean, I thought Indiana would win. I didn't think they'd win by 17. I didn't think they'd win wire to wire, certainly, but they won. And it sets up a game seven. How much do you think Oklahoma City TJ is nervous right now? Because at the same time, is like, yeah, Indiana's just really, so is Oklahoma City. They've had their back against the wall plenty of times in this postseason.
That's the thing, as we've talked about on the show as this entire series has gone on, is the fact that Oklahoma City, You know, the lowest market or the lowest odds that you could get on a straight series, well, the way it goes of who wins each game, was an Oklahoma City sweep. That's how favored they were in this. You know, they were, whatever it was, like minus 400, minus 500 to win the series. So that just puts into perspective how good this Thunder team is, how much they were expected to just kind of blow the Pacers out of the water. But, you know, I'd be super nervous. Obviously, these players and coaches and everything are just going to prepare like it's another game because they've beat them three times so far. But definitely not going to be a cakewalk in a game seven, as none of them ever are. But the fact that the Pacers have done this to you three times now definitely makes you kind of prepare a different way. And the fact of the matter is that they've thrown different looks at you. You've thrown different looks at them because you've had to find different ways to win because they kind of got punched in the mouth in game one. And Shea got held to, you know, such a small amount of scoring, what he's used to scoring. And they've had to find ways to get him more involved, find different ways to beat them. And now, you know, all the cards are on the table. Every hand has been shown. So it's just going to come down to who's able to get it done.
It is, Tommy. I think, because the reason I ask that is like pressure. I think the pressure's on Indiana here. I do. I think Oklahoma City is real comfortable in this spot. They've seen this throughout this postseason. Indiana's got to go into that place and beat them there, beat them two games in a row, do all that. I feel like this is, and I know most people say, oh, pressure's on Oklahoma City. They're the fan. I think it's on Indiana to be able to go win there and do all that stuff. It feels to me like that's the tall task here.
I think the Thunder got just flat out punched in the mouth last night, you know, and it's not.
That's a Carlisle does that.
It is. It is. And I think that in a game six type situation, when you get punched in the mouth like that with an opportunity to close out the NBA finals and hoist that championship trophy, and then not only do you lose, but you lose going away, entering a game seven back on your home court. At that point, yeah, I mean, I feel like the Thunder, obviously, between last night and Sunday's game, they've got to take a hard look in the mirror and say, okay, like, we had a chance to clinch, and not only did we lose, we lost bad. We cannot let this happen again in front of our home fans. And so I think for that reason and that reason alone, yeah, I think the pressure does revert back on the shoulders of Indiana. Can they back that up and do that two games in a row?
They're the ones that have to win two in a row. They're the ones that have to go on the road and win. They're the ones that have to hold those two star players down. Like, Oklahoma City has pressure, obviously. It's game seven of the NBA Finals. But they just got to not let themselves be, for whatever reason it happened last night. I'm not smart enough to know the reason last night happened. I would suspect that it is got a lot to do with Rick Carlisle and coming up with a plan that Oklahoma City wasn't expecting, would be my guess. You can't let that happen again. And, oh, by the way, Oklahoma City could do the same thing. That's where, like, to me, they should be the ones who go into this free and easy, right? I nobody will, because it's game seven of the NBA Finals, but Indiana's got to now do this again.
I don't know. I think I disagree. I think I'd much rather be in the Pacers' shoes, honestly. Obviously, not playing in Oklahoma City, that's the tough part about all of this. But the fact of the Thunder having lost by 20 points and trailed by 20 points the entire game, basically, and now having to rebound from that and find a way to win against this team that's just punching the mouth three times now. Yeah.
Four times. That's the one thing I'll say, because remember, they should have won game five.
Yeah.
And if that's the one thing that, if like I'm a Pacers fan today, I'm like, guys, like, we have outplayed them so far in four out of the six games that have been played in this series.
That's what if I'm a Thunder fan, if I'm a Thunder player, if I'm a Thunder coach, you just got to be so annoyed at this point. How the hell do they keep doing this to us?
Yeah.
The fact that you lose by 20 points and trail by 20 points the entire time and now have to just put that out of your mind and go on to the next one. That's the thing, is that if this was a game that they lost by 2 points and they were this close to clinching,
I think that'd be worse.
I don't know. I think that the fact that they just got outplayed all night long.
All night long.
That's just tough to just say, okay, like, what do we do now? Like,
well, you just have to.
You got a fresh start.
You just got to lean into the fact that you're the more talented team, don't you? You were the better team all season long, that you were the best team in the NBA all season long. Like, if I'm Oklahoma City, just like, guys, like, we're the best team all year. Just go be the best team. Don't overthink this. Like, don't. You know, yeah, you've got one of the best in the business on the other side, figuring out game plans to disrupt what it is. We know what they just did to beat us the worst they can beat us. Let's not do that again. right? But we're the best team. We've been the best team all year. Just go be the best team for a game.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, with the Thunder to keep in mind is that they're used to being in this position throughout the playoffs. The Nuggets took them to seven games. And that was a series that I think in their minds and collectively, most people felt like the Thunder could just roll over, not roll over, but take down the Nuggets fairly easily. And the Nuggets pushed them to seven games. And so they've been in this position before. They've been able to win a best of seven series in seven games. They are going to have to do it again now when it matters the most against the Pacers, but they've shown that they've done it before. They can do it again.
Yeah. Either team can do it again. Look, I don't think, we can look, let me look and see what that line is Sunday. I don't know if y'all have looked yet.
I bet it's seven.
It is Thunder eight.
I was going to say 5.5. I don't like that at all.
Well, I don't like that.
I've not liked those lines at all this series. They've been squirrely to me.
Yeah, but I do like the Thunder in the game. I don't like that spread at all, but I like the Thunder to win the game. I'm taking the Thunder in game seven. TJ, who you got?
I'd probably lean Thunder, but I'm not laying those points at all. I'd take the points on Indiana, but Thunder win.
Thunder.
I'm gonna go Thunder. I mean, I've thought Thunder all along.
I'm also the guy on Sports Daily said the Thunder are going to win this series in four. So
yeah, I suspected Indiana would put up a great fight. I hoped that this would be a great series. It has been both. Really, we've only had that. Was game two a dud? Game two might have been a dud if I don't have it in front of me. Yesterday was the only one where it was like, man, that wasn't very fun to watch. Like all the others have been fun to watch for a variety of reasons. But I think for all the talk about this finals and the small market, like, this has been a great finals. It's been a great finals, lots of storylines, lots of star power, great coaching, fun franchises that the fan bases just want it so desperately. I think this has been a great finals. We'll probably have more on it later in the show. When we come back, Jay Delling is going to stop by, and he's going to talk a little golf. What happened yesterday out here at the Wichita Open? What should we look for today? The conditions, the history made, all of it. Jay is going to be the guy that gets us apprised of all of the latest. So we'll have that next for you. We've got giveaways, so stay tuned for that as well. It's Sports Daily Live out from the Wichita Open. Don't go away.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH, live from the Wichita Open at Crestview Country Club, playing musical chairs here this morning with our hosts and where everybody's sitting and moving around. I'm Tommy Castor, TJ Cleland. To my right, Jacob Albrock will rejoin us in our next segment. Joined now by Jay Delling for the first time today. We talked to you a couple times yesterday. We'll probably talk to you again later on this morning. It's been, Jay, a great day of golf yesterday. We're already setting up for a great day today as well. And, you know, we're talking history being made yesterday out on the course. With everything that has gone on this week with Wichita Open, it's only natural that we have a record-setting score.
Well, you know, the moon and the stars were lined up. I mean, we had a soft golf course. The fairways played bigger because when you have wet fairways, they don't run out. So these players are so precise with how far they hit every club. It's down to the yard. So they know on 10, for example, we're right by 10 here, and they know exactly how far they can carry it because they know it's going to be soft. 10's an interesting hole because if you hit it over that fairway bunker, you're probably going to run out. You're going to be in the trees. You could potentially have a lost ball. But yesterday, they could just take driver because they know that the driver is going to, you know, stop within a yard of where they hit it. So these guys are so precise. And then on their approach shots, it's just a dart contest, an absolute dart contest. And Adrian Dumont, he was the champion dart thrower yesterday. Right, he shoots 59, which is a course and a tournament record. It was the first sub 60 score since last year, and believe it or not, at the what tournament was it? It was the Astera Golf Championship. There was a 57 and a 59 in the same tournament.
Wow.
That's how good these guys are. I mean, his 59, Adrian's 59 yesterday was the 14th sub 60 score in the history of 36 year history of this tour. But there's been a lot of them shot in the last 2 to 3 years. So these guys are getting better. Equipment's getting better. These guys are athletes. I mean, have you seen some of these guys? I wouldn't want to meet them in a back alley.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, even with TJ's body here, I mean, he's put together. Yeah. I wouldn't want to meet him in a back alley.
Dumont's like 6'4". He was huge yesterday. He's got slender man arms. Yeah. He talked a lot about it. You brought up the driver. He said that, you know, the way it was playing yesterday, he hit his driver so well and so straight is what he kind of attributed to, is that on those par fives, he was able to get an approach shot in on it, every single one of them, and have two putts for birdies. That just kind of speaks to the level of player he is. He almost won this in 2023, and I think he's like number 5 on the points list right now. So, I mean, he's a guy you're probably going to see next year maybe on the tour.
No, he is. Actually, he's just barely outside getting his PGA Tour card, but he's going to be here all week, right? Now, he was here all week in 2023, lost in a playoff, got his PGA Tour card, finished, I think, in the 160s in the FedEx standings. So he got up to the big show, got his nose bloodied a little bit, so he's back down here to learn some more things. But once he leaves this year, we'll never see him back here.
How do you feel like after what we saw yesterday with the course conditions? How do you feel like the course is today? I mean, obviously, it's going to get warmer. It's going to get windier. I would imagine that those really soft conditions that we saw yesterday may not be quite the same way today.
It won't be as soft. I think this wind will kind of finish drying the course out today. So I think this weekend we'll truly see the teeth of Crestview Country Club, because it's still going to be windy. So there's still going to be some soft conditions today. We're not going to see a 59. We're not going to see a 60. We're not going to see a 61. We're going to see scores we're used to seeing. Somebody's probably going to shoot 63, maybe 62. But we're not going to see the scores we shot yesterday. And when I say that, when you take Adrian's 59 out, 7-under was the best score. And, in fact, he broke a record yesterday that stood for 34 years. 1991, Eric Hoos had a 3-shot lead after the first round. Well, yesterday, Adrian had a 4-shot lead. He carries a 4-shot lead into today. So it'll be interesting when he tees off at, I think, 105 today. Will he still have the lead? Maybe. He won't be far out, I'll guarantee you, when he tees off, though.
Yeah, you know, some of the names that I was looking at, you know, Johnny Kiefer was 7-under yesterday. He's number 1 on the points list. You think about Pearson Coody was somewhere up near the top as well. So there's a lot of pretty big-time Korn Ferry golfers that are, you know, in that striking distance. Do you think anybody can kind of get there within a stroke of him today?
Absolutely. I think you bring up a good point. There's some good chasers, right? There's some good chasers. Pearson Coody is a great one. Who's playing phenomenal golf right now. So there's a lot of those guys at 7-under, 6-under. If they throw a, you know, 5 or 6 or 7-under this morning, obviously it's going to make, you know, Adrian think a little bit. But I think when he tees off, he probably won't have the lead, but he's not going to be far off.
Talking to Jay Delling this morning here from the Wichita Open about day number 2 here of the tournament. I asked you this before we came on, where you thought the projected cut line was going to be. Somewhere around 3 to 4 under is kind of where you're thinking, right?
Yeah, it's if you look at the records, it's anywhere from 3 to 4. We've been as much as 6, but I think it's going to fall somewhere in the 4. And so just to talk about the scoring yesterday, the average score yesterday was 68.1, so almost 2 under par. That's pretty low for a Thursday or Friday round. Now, sometimes we'll see that on the weekend because, you know, you've got the, you know, best 65 players of the week, right? They're playing pretty well.
Is that a course condition? Like, is that a result of that? Or is it also partially the overall caliber of the field? Like, or is it a combination of all of those?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a perfect storm, right? I mean, these guys are too good not to take advantage of those scoring opportunities.
Yeah, this one, I was talking to somebody about this. I've covered the tournament for, I think this is my fourth Wichita Open that I've covered since I started at KWCH. You know, obviously with the Sam Stevens being here last year, you think about Ricky Castillo and that whole group. This feels like the most names that, you know, I've recognized from covering. There's a lot of guys that have, you know, gone up and come back down. So this feels, you know, maybe near the top is kind of the creme de la creme, I guess, of the guys you'll see in this tournament. Does it feel like that for you?
And there's a reason for that. There's a couple of reasons for that. One is this is the first time in, I think, 15 years that we're not opposite the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open takes anywhere from 12 to 15 Korn Ferry Tour players. So I'm used to, you know, coming in on Monday morning and kind of looking at the field and going, okay, we've got, you know, 12 of the top 20 players here. And that's usually pretty good. Well, this week it's 18 of the top 20 because we're not opposite the U.S. Open. So they're not stealing our top flight golfers. So to your point, first of all, they had a week off, which usually doesn't happen in the schedule. When you take a week off, you're missing a tournament. You're missing an opportunity. Was that the week that I was going to go low, right? So they didn't have a choice last week. So they got a chance to rest. We're just over halfway done in the schedule. And so now it's grinding time. I mean, now it's the carrot is there. And this is a time for if golf's a funny sport. Typically, when you look at a whether it's PGA Tour or Korn Ferry Tour, the top flight players take Scottie Scheffler out of the equation, right? Most really good elite players will have 4 to 5 really good weeks out of the year. It's now, can I put those weeks together and really, you know, send a message to the rest of the tour? So this would be a great time. Hopefully the guys got rest. Hopefully they worked on a, you know, couple of things. So it'll be interesting to see not only this week, but maybe the next 2 or 3 weeks, how some of the guys that are finishing in the top 10 this week, will they sustain that over the next 3 or 4 weeks to really make a push to get in the top 20 to get their PGA Tour card?
You know, I always do this when the field comes out, and I know a lot of people do also. You go through and you try to pick out names that you recognize, and I'm going to follow this guy. And there are a handful of players that are PGA Tour winners multiple times. Like Russell Knox is in the field today, and I know he plays on the Korn Ferry Tour pretty regularly now. There was a stretch of time, 10 years ago, he was one of the best golfers in the world and was winning PGA tournaments and European Tour stops and was almost on the Ryder Cup team for Team Europe. And he's playing in the Wichita Open this weekend. So, like, we talked to some notable players yesterday. There are some names that even the most casual golf fan will recognize.
It's so funny you say that, Tommy, because I remember in the early 90s, you know, as the young media relations guy, you know, I'd come in, I'd look at the field, and I'd go, man, we've got a guy in the field that's actually won on the PGA Tour,
yeah,
right? So now you fast forward to this week. I opened up the field on Monday, and I'm like, okay, there's 14 PGA Tour winners that amassed 27 wins. Nick Watney has the most at 5. Scott Piercy, who won our event 12 to 15 years ago, he's got 4,
right?
I mean, we've got cachet. I mean, we've got guys that have won on the biggest stages, and that's the beauty of this tour. This tour really has about three segments. First segments are the Pearson Cooties and the Adrians of the world, right? These young guys, fresh out of college, you know, they do well here. They may go up for a year, get their nose bloodied, come back down, and then we'll never see Pearson Cootie. We'll never see Dacia Sart ever.
Yeah, they're fast track.
Yeah,
we
know that, we'll never see him again after this year. Then you've got those Scott Piercy's who are kind of in no man's land. You know, they're 40, right? I mean, they still have game. They still have some status on the PGA Tour, but they need to kind of get their crap together. Then you've got the Mike Weirs. I'm trying to think of some of the other players that we've had in the field. Sean McKeel, who won a PGA championship a long time ago. Lee Jansen. These guys are 45 to 50, and they're here. they're probably not going to win, and they know that. But what they're doing is they're sharpening their game for the Champions Tour. And that's exactly what Ben Hogan wanted to do back in 1990 when he created this developmental tour. He wanted to teach the young kids how to travel, how to schedule, how to do media, how to deal with galleries. He wanted to develop them, but he also wanted a place for those 45 to 50-year-olds so they could kind of hone their game to continue to play on the Champions Tour.
I also feel like there might be even a fourth category of guys that, for whatever reason, maybe their game isn't quite at a point to be a PGA Tour member, and they've grinded on the Korn Ferry Tour for a long time. I think of somebody like Tommy Gainey, who, you know, we see every year here, you know, and then there are others that are like that too, where they may not be notable PGA Tour names, but when you come out to the Wichita Open and you look at the field, you recognize some of the same names over and over and over again, and they've just been a part of this tour and this tournament for a long time.
Well, Ben Hogan did not want this to be a destination tour. Yeah. Now, back in 1990, the purse was $100,000.
Sure.
Well, somebody's going to win $180,000 come Sunday, right? So he didn't want this to be and your point is well said. I don't know if you remember the name Ben Bates. Ben Bates has been here 20 times.
Yeah.
He's made a living on this tour. He's made a pretty good living on this tour. And you know what? That's okay, because arguably the Korn Ferry Tour is the second best tour in the world. Some people believe that. It's probably a toss-up between here and the DP Tour, but if you really look at it, these guys have the game. They just don't quite have the experience yet.
That's what I always tell people about the Wichita Open, because as you said, this is kind of the grinding point of the Korn Ferry. It's kind of the downhill stretch for the rest of the season. So the points list gets even more important whenever you get to Wichita, basically. And the winner of this gets so many points on that points list. It's like, if they win this, you're probably going to see them playing in some big tournament on the PGA next year.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, we obviously, it's going to be a great day of golf, and we're looking forward to seeing where the scores come in with the conditions out there today and monitoring that cut line and all of that. I know we talked yesterday about the over-under on the projected final score for the winner. You said over 19 under. I mean, with 11 under after day one, that's looking fairly likely, I think, at this point.
I think it is likely, but I think you'll be some, you know, people are going, oh, somebody's going to shoot 25, 20. I would be shocked if the winning score was 25 under, but yeah, I definitely think it'll be more than 19.
Well, I think you said it well when you said that this weekend, Crestview will probably show its teeth a little bit with hot weather and wind kicking up and all of that. So,
and the pressure, like TJ was talking about.
The pressure for sure. So looking forward to all of that. And we appreciate always you coming by talking golf with us, Jay.
Pleasure. All
right, there goes Jay Delling, media relations coordinator for 36 years for the Wichita Open. I saw you on TV last night as well, like profiling you.
Did I scare the women and children
and
away?
Your career and your legacy, and you're an icon.
Whatever.
All these, they were throwing out all these great words about Jay Delling. We always appreciate our buddy Jay coming here on the program, talking golf here this morning on Sports Daily. We've got a lot to come here on the program. We'll get Jacob Albrock back in our next segment, and we've got great guests coming up too in the next couple of hours. We're here, TJ.
We're here. Going to be a great day of golf. We already had tee times going off for the last almost 2 hours now. A lot of people getting out there. We're going to start seeing some people coming behind us here pretty shortly, I imagine. So got 2 more hours of radio, 2.5 more hours on here, and then just a great day of golf to follow.
We've got a great lineup of guests coming up for you in the next couple of hours, including Todd Johnson, membership director at Crestview Country Club, is going to stop by, talk about the club, talk about the course, talk about membership, all of that. We'll do that a little bit later on in the 9 o'clock hour. Katie Winters from 3570 Golf Co. is going to stop by, talk about their great golf apparel that you can take advantage of and check out and purchase here at the Wichita Open. We'll talk to her a little bit later on in the program around 10 o'clock. My boss, Becky Damian from Odyssey, is going to come by and talk about Odyssey's commitment in community events like the Wichita Open. We'll do that around 10:30 this morning as well. So we're action-packed and loaded up for the next couple of hours here on Sports Daily. Also want to remind you, while we have a moment here, if you would like to win a round of golf for two plus a cart out here at Crestview Country Club and play the same course that the pros are playing this week, all you have to do is text the keyword golf, that's G-O-L-F, to 20357 for your chance to win that. We are going to draw another winner today. We're drawing a winner once per week throughout the month of June. We've already had a couple of winners so far this month getting out to come out and check out everything that this course has to offer. So again, the keyword golf, G-O-L-F, to 20357. You can enter once per day. Standard data and message rates apply. I know you've gotten to come out and play this course with Jacob and I before, and so we're going to give a chance to for some other people to play this course too.
Hey, I think we should just blow off these next 2 hours and us three go play nine on the South course and get ready for a big day of golf.
Jay, you've got some time, right? You have some free time to go and do that?
The rest of my day.
Yeah. Okay. Let's clear the whole thing out and go play the South course today. I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday, and one of the cool things about Crestview is that there are 36 holes of golf. So even with the Wichita Open going on, members can still go play the other course and not have to take an entire week off. A buddy of mine played 18 yesterday morning and then went to the 17th green for the afternoon. And he said that the South course took some damage too from the storms, and because of all of the
probably
efforts,
not a lot of chainsaws on the South.
All of the efforts coming out here, he goes, we were dodging some tree limbs, you know, out there on the South, but it's worth it to get out and play some golf today too. So I'm sure that there will be a lot of people taking advantage of that too.
Thanks to Jay Delling for stopping by. We may get him one more time, but we got a lot of guests coming up here for you over the next, what are we at, 2.5 hours here on the program out at the Wichita Open. We are starting to see few people walk in the course. It was a good warning from Chore Jordan. If you're coming out to party, wait till 11, till it actually starts. Or you can, if you do come out early, walk a little golf, watch. You can watch them tee off 10. You can kind of come watch them. Let's see, that'd be their, you'd be watching their drive on 10. You could catch, you might be able to, we don't have anybody on 18 just yet.
We're
but
about
they got to be getting pretty close. Yeah, the guys that teed off on 10 here early this morning. So there's plenty of golf to watch. And then, of course, the party starts up here in just a little bit. 18 will be back today. It looks great, all things considered. Everything looks normal, except there's no chalets, which they, you know, that's to be expected when a hurricane blows through a couple days before the tournament. So we're having some fun out here. Jay and TJ and Tommy got you all caught up on the actual golf of the day. Chiefs minicamp, we broached on this yesterday. TJ will get your take on it. It's just been a really interesting year. Yesterday we spent talking about Travis Kelce. He was kind of the guy everybody was focused in on. That would have been, I guess, Wednesday at training camp, and what is his role this year. And I think the consensus from us, and I would assume you agree, is that he'll look more like a receiver this year. He's changing his body literally to do that. Their offense is going to be loaded, I think, you know, more so than it has been in a long time. Something we haven't talked a lot about is the defense. Last year, it was, I don't know if it was about this time, Tom, it was sometime in the summer, we had Mitch Holthus on, and Mitch told, as he said on our air, that he thinks the defense could be better. This was before last season than it was the year before. I thought he was crazy, and he wasn't. He was, he was at least, it was as good. I don't know if it was better, but it was as good. It carried them through the season. And there wasn't a lot of change there either. So I don't know why we would expect the defense to take a major step back. I think it could take a small step back. I think they'll have room to take a small step back. But what if we have that same conversation? Could the defense be better? They drafted a lot of defensive players.
Yeah, going to be really interesting on what it looks like this year, because it's going to be a slightly different defense than it was last year. You think about, you know, no Justin Reed back there. Everybody talked about them going to get a new pass rusher this offseason. They didn't really do that. They drafted Jelotti, I guess, was their big guy they drafted out of Louisville, who could be a piece that could do something in that. But didn't go sign a guy like they expected him to do. So going to be interesting to see what that front looks like. And then obviously the standard was set last year of what the defense was. It's going to be really tough to top what they did last year as well. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer there or make of it so far. But a lot of the same pieces and a couple new faces. My biggest question, I guess what I would say, is the, you know, secondary with all the injuries that went down last year, and then losing Justin Reed, of what the secondary may look like, I guess.
Yeah. I think it'll be fine. I just kind of always think the secondary is going to be fine, to be perfectly honest with you,
because find a way to.
Because Spags either whether that's because they're really good at identifying players and drafting them and bringing them in, Tommy, or that just is what Spags does really well.
Well, I think it's what Spags does really well. I mean, we've seen basically the identity of this defense really embody the culture that Steve Spagnuolo has implemented in Kansas City. And he wants players on that defense that fit into that identity. And so are they always the most highly touted defenders? Are they the, you know, biggest blue chippers? Not necessarily, but they fit the identity of Steve Spagnuolo. They fit that grittiness, that, you know, workhorse type mentality. And then just the way that Steve Spagnuolo calls his games defensively, that execution, I think, is next level.
Always has been. And it's not just in coverage either. He's, of course, the blitz master through the secondary. Yeah. You never know when they're coming.
He times them perfectly.
And I think it has to be a combination of both, right? It has to be a combination of, and it probably has a lot to do with Spags, but kind of giving insight or whatever it is, or maybe Brett Veach is just a savant at, you know, evaluating defensive backs. I would imagine it's both, but it does build you a little cushion. And, you know, the conversation we're going to have to not have this year, but down the road, is what do you do with Trent McDuffie? I have advocated to, you know, invest in him more than Karloftis if you have to choose one. But I also thought that was going to be the case with, and I will say that I was wrong about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's something that is of great interest. They let Eric Berry walk. They let Justin Reed walk. Like, they don't have a problem letting, and then Snead, of course, letting these guys go. And it does make me wonder with McDuffie, who I've always advocated for because he's so dang good, maybe they let him go. And just and I think these guys they drafted will tell us a lot about what they're able and willing to do there.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point you bring up because, you know, you think about Trent McDuffie and how good he is. You have to pay him of how integral a part he is of that defense. But then is Trent McDuffie better than Xavier Snead – or not Xavier Snead. Legarius Snead was that year? I mean, he was
– No. I mean, Snead was fantastic that year, and I thought – they couldn't lose him, and then they did, and it didn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really interesting. Yeah, that's what – I don't know. They're going to have to make a decision, but it seems that they've –
it kinda, won't affect them this year. It's fine this year.
But when it just – and speaking of hypotheticals here, obviously, they have seemed to not have a problem with letting them walk and just drafting a crop every – it's the same way they've treated running backs. I mean, who was the last running back they extended to a second contract?
Oh, I mean,
it would have Jamal to be Jamal Charles
probably.
They kind of go with the same mentality of that as just, we'll just take him on a rookie contract and then we'll figure it out from there. If they turn out to be pretty good, somebody else can pay him because we're not going to. So it depends on how good Trent McDuffie's going to be, but I would agree they're probably going to pay Karloftis over Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, I don't know that the answer is to pay Karloftis either.
I bring it up
because it just, like, the part that I think does matter this year is what do these young players look like? Because when they let Snead go, they knew they had McDuffie, right? They knew he was there. I'm not sure you have that player, at least as of June 20th, the first day of summer officially. I don't know that you know you've got that dude there right now. Now, could they have? Sure. And I think that's the part that will get really interesting to watch this year is there somebody that develops into, like, okay, this guy could go. And if that happens and if they feel that way, that means the defense is going to be better, which is, to bring it back to my original point. Like, if they create a scenario where they're not devastated by the loss of McDuffie or Karloftis, it will mean that the defense is fantastic this year. And the alternative is to pay one of those guys, of course. But,
I do think that there is, I think it's realistic that we'll see a long-term deal with either McDuffie or Karloftis. I don't think they're... I would be surprised if neither of them are with the team long term. And I know there's precedent for the Chiefs to let some of their players walk and not sign them long term. But I would be really surprised if they don't prioritize one.
They're both
going to
be so expensive. Yeah. Don't you think?
I think it's impossible.
McDuffie's going to be way expensive. Karloftis, but if you know, he's going to be expensive too.
It's close to impossible, I think, for them to get both of them. But I do think they'll try at least as hard as they can to get one.
Well, to get both and keep Chris Jones. Yeah. I mean, I think that'd be the other thing. And Chris Jones isn't going to, like, retire. We're not having the same conversations about him that we're having about Travis Kelce. But I just – all of this, like, every time we talk about the Chiefs in minicamp, I just keep thinking, like, why wouldn't they be the favorite this year? And the reason I think it's a little irresponsible just to assume that is because I do think there are other really good teams that also got better. I don't think the Eagles did. And so did they close the gap on the Eagles? I think that's possible. But I think, you know, the Bills did. I think the Ravens, Derrick Henry's got another year, doesn't he? They got better. So those two did. Houston will be better. Cincinnati will be better. Are they good enough? I don't know, but they'll be better. Well, maybe not if they don't sign Trey Hendrickson. And then you go to the NFC. The Cowboys will be much better. The Rams should be better. The Niners will probably be better than they were a year ago. The Packers will probably be better than they were a year ago. Like, all these teams also got better. So for me, like, yes, the Chiefs are a better team. Does that enhance their chances to win a Super Bowl? I'm not sure it does. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll ask, because I'm sure you guys have had conversations about this that I didn't listen to, I guess. But what did the Chiefs do to get that much better? What's the
biggest? Well, fix the offensive line. And if they're better at left tackle than the absolute disaster of last year, to me, they're significantly better. And then they got healthy.
Yeah, they can just stay healthier, you know, this year. I don't think there was anything outside of the drafting of Josh Simmons.
Right.
That is like a big monumental move or anything.
They couldn't once they franchise tagged Trey Smith.
Right.
But they ran it back. But people are like, oh, they just ran it back. I'm like, yes, they ran it back. They had one real regular season loss last year and went to the Super Bowl. Yep. I think it's probably good news that they ran that back in a league where it's impossible to run it back. Like, you just can't. You can't make the numbers work to do that from year to year in the NFL. And they did it.
Brandon and I, as you guys know, I think we bet a beer on the fact that they wouldn't draft Josh Simmons.
Yeah. I think we're still waiting on that.
Did you win
beer.
That beer?
We did win that beer. Nice. We're still waiting
figure
on that.
Figure that out eventually. Yeah. But we were so upset about that pick because of the fact that we didn't think that they should have franchise tagged Trey Smith, because once they did that, they had no room to do anything else. They franchise tagged Trey Smith. And then they drafted a left tackle that might not be healthy. Turns out he's going to be healthy, which is a good pick now in retrospect. But that fact of the fact of, like, they're going to run it back with a team that, like, you know, just kind of got shown all their flaws in one game. And they said, no, that's fine. Like, we'll just figure it out next year. But the fact that everybody got healthier and Josh Simmons will be healthy, the fact that you get him at left tackle to be hopefully something better than what they had last year, and the fact that Rashee Rice will be back, that if he's able to play this year, that's monumental of what that does for that wide receiver.
And on that note, by the way, I mean, we kind of buried the lead here a little bit, that Andy Reid yesterday did say that Josh Simmons will be a full participant in training camp.
There you go.
So there no restrictions, nothing at all. He will be a full participant.
It is this thing, like, the offense that ended the year, which was significantly better than the offense of most of the year, right? Got Rashee Rice, added to it. That offense at the end of the year that was a lot better than the offense, added Rashee Rice. They added Hollywood Brown a full go Hollywood Brown. So they added those two pieces to the offense. They drafted another running back. They added Isaiah Pacheco, who will now be full go. So basically, the offense we saw last year just added Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, and Isaiah Pacheco. You think that makes the offense better? Of course it does. They just have to be better than the worst left tackle situation. They had to have the worst left tackle situation. Patrick Mahomes may have masked some of that. Wasn't a left tackle situation worse than the Chiefs last year? There couldn't have been. It was terrible. Okay? You lost Joe Tooney. That's the one question. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the one big looming question. For them not to be serviceable there, Kingsley Suamataia has to be one of the worst picks ever. And I don't think that's likely. Or Wanye Morris. They have to have two just absolute misses and guys to not be okay, because they're going to be better at left tackle.
And don't forget, they did trade for Jalen Moore, who can be a serviceable piece on either side of the line.
I still think the best scenario, fellas, is him and Simmons on the bookends, because that means Juwan Taylor got outplayed, and I know he's getting paid. But if you've got some combination of Moore and Simmons, that will have been the best case scenario, because Taylor's okay. Right, that'll mean they outplayed him, and now they're great on both bookends. All right, we'll come back. We got another hour coming here. What do we have? Todd Johnson next?
Dude, good segment.
All right, we'll talk a little bit about the facilities here when we return to the way. More Sports Daily right after this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.